Here is Adam Klugman, host of Mad as Hell in America Radio. Heard Saturdays on AM 620, Portland's Talk, KPOJ.
Welcome to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Christopher Walken, sitting in for Adam Klugman, who is sitting in for Norman Goldman. And I'm sitting here thinking, maybe I'll change my name to Christopher Walkman. It seems to be a good radio name. You put man at the end, and it works. All right, it's not really Christopher Walken. I talked to Norm before the show, and he keeps encouraging me to do the impersonations. I thought I'd start with a little Chris, because we're going to do a little comedy this hour. We're going to play it a little differently this hour. We have some absolutely outstanding guests for you. In the second hour, we are going to be talking all about corporate personhood. You've heard about it. There's a tremendous book out by Jeffrey Clements called Corporations Are Not People, stating the obvious, but it seems to need to be stated again and again. The subtitle is Why They Have More Rights Than You Do and What You Can Do About It. And so in honor of that, I'm going to do a little sketch comedy in a minute, a little political sketch comedy, if there is such a thing. I think there is a new genre. I think Jon Stewart put that genre on the map. I won't tell you any more about it till we get there. But there is a little political comedy out there, but I don't know how funny it is, but it is kind of funny. Did you see this thing about Hugo Chavez or Hugo Chavez? He was just musing lightly that maybe the United States government is giving cancer to all sorts of South American leaders. He was just kind of musing out loud. There have been something like 5 South American leaders in the past few years who've shown up with cancer. And so he was at a public event, and he kind of just said, you know, I'm not saying anything. I mean, I'm not leveling any accusations, but it could be possible that there is a covert operation to give South American leaders cancer. And, you know, what I love about Chavez is that he'll say whatever comes into his head, and he's not afraid of it. And if I wasn't such a cynic, I might say, well, that's preposterous. And, of course, that's how the State Department responded, like, oh, my God, this is just totally ludicrous. How could he possibly say that? But maybe he knows about the Tuskegee experiment. Maybe he's heard about it, where for 40 years the United States government conducted syphilis research on African-American men under cover of providing them with health care. So it's not really beyond the realm of possibility. And I get a chuckle out of it just because Chavez is so outrageous. I mean, is he totally off the map? I mean, I do have a tinfoil hat that I wear from time to time, and I did put it on when I was reading that article. It's not outside the realm of possibility. And, you know, the response from the State Department was just, well, it's just preposterous. They didn't really deny it. I'm sure that they wouldn't come clean on it. But anyway, am I crazy? Does it ring remotely true for you? It did for me. There's other weird little, well, there's some good news. Newt Gingrich is falling behind in the polls in Iowa. That's really good news. You know, he's not even making a serious effort. I mean, the guy is just not even trying. He doesn't have a ground game. I mean, he's not even going to be on the polls. On the ballot in Virginia. I mean, he's not playing a ground game. It was like Herman Cain. He wasn't really serious. It's about something else, some weird narcissistic head trip that these guys go through. But Newt's not serious. But it's good that he's falling behind the polls because he's a crazy person. And speaking of Virginia, I don't know if you caught this. Virginia, they are making Republican registrants. There are people who are registering to vote. excuse me. Sign a loyalty oath that they will vote for whoever finally gets the Republican nomination. They have to sign a loyalty oath. You know, and they wonder why we call them fascists from time to time. I mean, the thing about the left is we don't even think in those terms. It doesn't occur to us to ask somebody to sign a loyalty oath. We like independent thinking. We respect people's right to think for themselves, to change their minds. We don't ask for their undying loyalty. We don't ask them to sign loyalty oaths. If you want to change your mind, that's cool. That's why I'm on the left. It's just crazy out there. It's crazy out there. I'm telling you, it's nuts. So I promised a little sketch comedy. I usually start with a monologue. I'm not going to do a monologue today because in honor of the conversation we are going to be having in the second hour with Jeffrey Clemons on his brand spanking new book, Corporations Are Not People and Why They Have More Rights Than You Do, I'm going to play a little sketch comedy I wrote and then recorded and played on my show, Matt as Hell in America. It's an interview with a corporate person, an actual corporate person. So hang with this. I don't know how funny it is because it's a pretty dark subject, but I tried to make it funny, but I also tried to make it poignant. So let's roll it. This is an interview from a few months ago on my show, Mad as Hell in America.
Well, here at Mad as Hell in America, we talk a lot about corporate personhood and Citizens United and this whole idea that corporations can be people. And lately, they've been given the same rights as U.S. citizens. And so I started thinking, it's such a complicated issue, and there are so many sides to it. Wouldn't it be great if we could actually put a name and a face behind corporate personhood? So our next guest is someone very special, and I'm very proud to have gotten this interview. His name is Vic Stone Media. He's a limited liability company from New York, and he is an actual, honest-to-God corporate person. In addition to his corporate activities, he's the author of several works, most recently the 2011 First Quarter Shareholders Report. Vic Stone, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Adam. And, oh, by the way, my friends call me Vicky.
Okay, Vicky, you're a corporate person. What exactly does that mean?
Just what it sounds like, Adam. I'm no different from you, a constitutionally protected citizen, just with a better portfolio.
But you're not a citizen, you're a corporation.
Well, I don't see what difference that should make. Champagne?
No, thanks. But my point is that a lot of people, and I consider myself one of them, feel that a person really isn't the same thing as a...
As what?
Well, as a business. I mean, you're not really a person, biologically speaking.
First of all, that really hurts my feelings.
Oh, come on. Feelings?
Yes, feelings.
Like what kind of feelings?
When my stock prices drop, do I not feel fear? When I report record earnings, am I not proud? When my CEO gets caught in a scandal, do I not feel shame?
I doubt it.
I think you are being a little biocentric, Adam.
Biocentric?
Yes, biocentric, and it's quite ugly. You human beings think that just because you breathe air that you have some exclusive claim on personhood.
Well, yes, I think I do. I'm an actual person.
And so am I. I just happen to be a different kind of person. Does everyone have to fit in with that narrow definition you've created for yourself? And isn't it really just prejudice by another name?
Wait a minute now.
Adam, you call yourself a progressive, but maybe you're really just a reactionary. We live in a multicultural, multinational world, and the old definitions just don't apply anymore. For example, you are what I like to call a human person. I am a corporate person. I don't see why you have so much trouble with this, Adam.
Well, I guess I am prejudiced. I just don't accept that there is such a thing as a corporate person.
And yet, here I am. So maybe denial isn't just a river in Egypt, Adam.
Okay. All right. Let's just say that in some twisted semantic way, you are a person. I guess what I find offensive is that it's an insult to me, a living thing. As science defines it, to be living, a thing must, quote, be capable of growth, reproduction, and metabolism.
Are you asking me to take a physical?
No, I'm asking you to demonstrate in scientific terms your claim that corporate personhood is equal to human personhood.
But that's not my claim.
It's not?
No. My claim is that corporate personhood is superior to human personhood.
Oh, this I gotta hear. In what ways are you superior to me?
Well, from a legal standpoint, I'm vastly superior because I have limited liability, while you, a human person, have unlimited liability.
And how does that make you superior?
For one thing, unlimited liability makes you so much more vulnerable. If you make a mistake, if you say kill 11 oil rig workers and pollute the Gulf of Mexico for the next 100 years, I can hold you criminally liable. You would probably go to jail for a very long time. Whereas my colleague, British Petroleum, simply pays a fine, keeps on pumping.
I don't think that makes you superior. I think it makes you reckless and irresponsible.
One person's reckless is another person's profit margin, Adam. And I would like to add that I, as a corporate person, exist in perpetuity while you, a mere human person, eventually die. I am, in a sense, eternal, while you are merely mortal.
Let's go back to my original question.
The science question. May I hear the definition again?
In order to be living, a thing must be capable of growth, reproduction, and metabolism.
Let's take the first part of the question. Do I grow? Of course I do. 150 years ago, I started out as a scruffy railroad company in Santa Clara County, and now look at me. I'm all over the country. I'm overseas.
Yes, in the Cayman Islands.
Well, everyone needs a vacation now and again.
From paying taxes.
That's exactly right. In fact, that's another way in which I'm superior to you. I don't actually pay taxes, while you are burdened with paying for all the infrastructure I use to make profit.
Do you think that's fair?
Oh, you liberals are always talking about fair. Fair is as fair does, Adam. Without profits, there would be no industry. Without industry, there would be no jobs. Without jobs, there would be no prosperity. And without prosperity, we're no better off than communists. Not a communist now, are you, Adam?
Finish my question. You explained that you grow. Fair enough. What about reproduction?
I'll consider all my subsidiaries. I think of them as my children.
They're not children. Human beings have children. I have children. You have little companies.
Yeah, and those little companies grow into big companies, just like your children.
But you didn't give birth to them.
Neither did you, Adam. But if we're talking about labor, don't get me started, because I've had labor pains for the last 100 years.
You're just being evasive.
I don't think I'm the one who's being evasive here. I think it's you who keep avoiding the issue.
And what issue is that?
That you, my liberal friend, are just another bigot. You don't like the way I define myself, so you want to change the definition to suit your purposes. Oh, you're all in favor of multiculturalism. But when it comes to multinationalism, you want to create new categories that assert your privilege. You're an anti-corporatite, Adam, of the worst kind.
An anti-corporatite? What's that?
It's someone who holds prejudicial views of corporate persons.
Well, I guess I am, then. I am an anti-corporatite.
Well, there it is. At least you can be honest about it, Adam. Because at the end of the day, you and all your liberal listeners are just a bunch of biocentric bigots who think being human makes you a part of some privileged elite class of miracles. But I am a miracle, too. I am a miracle of economic ingenuity, a miracle of law, a living, growing, sentient citizen born right here in the U.S. of A. with the same desire to be free that you have. I am the new person, Adam, the corporate person, the answer to the problem of death and taxes and the moral ambiguity that make you and your kind dinosaurs of this age. I won't let you hurt me, Adam. I won't let you use the rule of law to strip me of my economic birthright. And I will never, ever let you turn me into a second-class citizen.
What the hell? Zach, will you see who that is? Excuse me, but we're recording a radio show.
Yeah, we know. We were listening and came right over.
Wait a minute. Aren't you Justice Scalia?
Damn right he is.
Hold on, and you're...
John Roberts, in the flesh.
What's going on here?
We're here to protect an American citizen.
I'm okay. The conversation just got a little overheated.
We're not protecting you. We're protecting him.
Wait a minute. You're supposed to be defending me from him.
You really have a distorted view of America, my liberal friend.
Are you all right, Vicky?
Just a little weak. After a few more elections, I'll be fine.
Well, you can have as many of those elections as you can buy in 2012, baby. And there's nothing that progressive peon Klugman can do to stop you. What did you do to him, Klugman? Get up, Vicky. We're leaving.
Mr. Klugman.
Yes, Justice Roberts?
I hope that one day people like you will wake up, renounce their hatred, and accept that we are all together in this. that we are all good Americans fighting for the same cause.
You're not saying.
Oh, yes, I am.
Please don't.
Suck it to him, John.
We're all citizens united now, buddy boy.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
So, what do you think? Did I nail it? Did I miss it? It's a little darker than I remember. I thought it was going to be funny, and I started writing it funny, and it just kept getting darker and darker and darker. I'm Adam Klugman, in for Norman Goldman. Tell me what you think, 1-888-321-6001. That's 1-888-321-6001. This is Adam Klugman, in for Norman Goldman on the Norman Goldman Show, the place where justice is served.